We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Focus. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. It's the first Wednesday of the month. Has been our great pleasure and our tradition for a long time on the first Wednesday to talk about food and cooking with the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. He's been stopping by every first Wednesday of the month and 10 o'clock hour for a long time, and we pick some topic, and when I say we, I mean he picked some topic. He says, well, let's talk about this. And we have talked about different dishes. Sometimes because of the time of the year, it's made sense to talk about a particular thing. We've talked about cooking from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And we exchange stories and we exchange recipes, and we always have a great time. So this time around, he says, well, let's talk about fresh, quick soups. And I'm sure that a lot of people would say, boy, on a day like this, that sounds pretty good, the idea of a night sitting down to a nice, comforting, warm bowl of soup. At the same time, a lot of folks would say, well, gosh, isn't that really complicated making soup? Doesn't it take all day long? And you got to have a lot of time. And I'm sure that Doyle would say, and other folks would say, no, you can make a soup, really a good soup, very quickly, provided you got your pantry well-equipped. So this morning, that's what we're doing. We're talking about fresh, quick soups, and we're looking for recipes or anything else that is on folks' minds. So you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Did I get the right number of fives in there? And email is will-talk@illinois.edu. And Doyle is actually at his house this morning. He got to stay home. And he's joining us by phone. Hey, Doyle.
Yes, here I am.
Well, I'm really pleased you could be with us. Have we ever done it like this before?
We haven't, but years before, about 2 years before we started the program with you, Charles Lindy called me about a 4th of July party, and I talked on the telephone to him about that for a period of time. So we're breaking ice and going back to old technology.
Well, it's our 30th anniversary year. We might as well do it, have a first. We can't find too many firsts anymore.
Well, this is a good one.
But this is a good one. So have you been thinking about soup?
Well, I'll tell you how this call came about. I, of course, keep wondering, what are we going to talk about? And I was at the grocery store, and the woman behind me, of course, as usual, the woman behind me said, I know who you are. Yes, you're right. And so, well, what are you going to talk about Wednesday? And I said, well, what would you like for me to talk about? I said, I haven't really worked on the project too much. She said, how about soup? And I said, that's a good idea. So We're talking about soup. Soups that are simple and quick and really delicious, and you know, rather than the one that takes all day long to cook, as you mentioned. And so I pulled together some soup recipes that I had and I'm very, very fond of, and I even then found a very obscure one that I had written down obviously sometime around 1959 or 60, and it is so obscure that I sat down and made it last night or yesterday for lunch, and it turned out to be extraordinarily good. So I've got a couple of recipes that I'm very fond of that are rapid and very tasty.
Yeah, and I think that now that if your pantry is well stocked and you have, now that we can get pretty good on the shelf stock of various kinds and canned tomatoes and canned beans, and you can have stuff in your freezer ready to go, so that if you plan and you have the ingredients, that there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to put together a soup in half an hour. And so that is actually one of those things that you could, after a regular day, a work day, everybody gets home and you say, what are we going to have? You could say, well, let's make soup, and you could have it on the table in 30, 40 minutes, probably.
Exactly. You know, let's see. Who is it? Who is it on Food Channel? I like the concept very much. Teach a person a recipe and they can have a good meal. Teach them a technique and they can cook forever. So it really is a matter of your sensibility and thinking about what you're doing. You can make dozens and dozens of variations of these soups because it is a technique rather than just a specific put in this, put in that. And so I sort of respond to that particular thought.
Yeah. Well, do you want to just mention one to talk about one just to get us going?
Well, I want to mention the one that just got me turned on, and there's still a half of a pot left on the stove because I'm going to have that for my lunch again today. This is one that I found in my oldest recipe book, or not book, but gathering of recipes that I made when I was a graduate student at Iowa. And I have no idea where it came from, and it is so cryptic. And maybe someone can recognize the source of this. I don't know if it's Polish or Bohemian or Irish. It's sort of confusing to me. It's made with turnips.
Hmm.
And on my sheet of paper, I had merely the words I had just written down these words, and it says soup at the top of the page, and then it says diced turnips cooked in chicken broth, parsley, and cinnamon, and that's all it was on the sheet of paper. So I said, okay, what can this possibly be? I like the idea because it obviously is something very quick and something I must have eaten, must have been told about. I think I probably ate it and quickly wrote down that message on a card. But I know the card is more than 50 years old. So I have no idea what to call this, and I have no idea what to relate it to, but I will tell you. One small onion diced, and then three diced turnips. I chopped them up to about half-inch dice. And cook that in 1 quart of chicken broth. I found a good chicken broth that is low in sodium, and the kind in the square box is enough, and that's a quart. Mm-hmm. And then while it is cooking, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, ground black pepper, and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. And that's the one. That's the clue, I think, as to where the origin of this was. A teaspoon of cinnamon, and then 1 cup of parsley chopped up. And that is brought to a boil, and you only then turn it down to simmer, and simmer it for 20 minutes, and by that time the vegetables are cooked down. Put it into a blender, and I tasted it after the blender, and I said, you know, this is awfully close to this, and it's not close enough to that. I think that this needs 1/2 cup of cream, and I grabbed the cream, which I indeed had in my icebox, and put 1/2 cup of cream in, and I'm telling you, it is something to deliciously enjoy. Mm-hmm. And you don't really want it as a real hot soup. So a little bit more than room temperature. It was very delicious. And then I also had it late in the evening, and it was chilled. And it would be a good chilled soup, very much like a vichyssoise. But I do like it. Then, just the temperature just brought up. Don't bring it back to a boil, or you'll curdle the cream and everything. But not too hot. And with that, I decided to make an elaborate cornbread using canned corn along with the cornbread, very much like Grant's recipe for spoon bread, but not quite as much. And then I thought, oh, I don't have enough cornmeal in it. So I grabbed a handful of grits, which you now know that I have all over the place.
Yes.
And it made an absolutely wonderful accompaniment to this, and it was all done in a matter of minutes, you know, really a half hour. And I tasted it several times during the day, and I had it then for supper, and I had it then as a snack. And as I say, I'm looking forward to my lunch being this soup. It's an awfully delicious soup, and maybe somebody can give me a hint as to maybe where the origin of it was. The idea of cinnamon and turnips is not as aggressive as you think. It made a nice spicy dish, but I just cannot locate where I must have found this.
Hmm.
So there we are. That is really, really easy and fast, and takes no more than chicken broth and turnips and some cream, and you've got it, because the rest of the stuff you got around somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's really great now that we have good canned, or as you say, I mean, I also use one of those brands that comes in that little wax box.
I love them.
And you can get them that at least say that they're organic and that they're very low
in
fat
and low in sodium.
And reduced in sodium.
Yep.
For me, actually, I think they could even shave off a little bit more of the sodium. But
I think that that's going to happen. I do, because what was that announcement about 2 or 3 days ago?
Just recently, there was an announcement that generally the thinking is that we're all in the American diet. There's way too much sodium, and it would be better, too much salt. So it would be probably better for everybody.
Well, I've been telling you that.
I know. And I think also for that reason, probably when I use that, I often do. Maybe there's a recipe that calls for all broth, and I've found that maybe if you go about 50-50, you still got the flavor, and it really helps to cut down on the salt. But I think that's a real good product, and it's nice to it keeps in the fridge for a couple of weeks, and it keeps on the shelf for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good pantry staple to have a couple of those boxes just sitting there so that you can
get
your
I got four now because I bought two the other day, and I had already had two. So you're right. That's one of the staples.
Our guest in this part of Focus is Doyle Moore. He's the man we call our chef in residence.
I'm in my residence.
And he's in his residence. He's in his residence. Not in ours. He's resident somewhere, and he's probably also resonant. That's something else. And for the first Wednesday of the month for a long time, he's been stopping by and doing the show with us. Generally, he's here, but this time around, he's at his house. And it's the same deal. We're talking here about cooking. We exchange recipes and stories and cooking tips. And this time around, based on a suggestion of someone he just bumped into, we're talking about soup. And the idea is that, you may, if you got the time, you can do a long cooking soup, but there's really no reason to have to spend that much time. It's quite easy to have a soup and have it come to the table in half an hour, 40 minutes, if you're really together and you have the stuff there on the shelf ready to go. So that's the idea. And if you have a good recipe to share, we'd really like to hear it. And you can share it with us and with the other people who are listening. The number to call if you're in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And we have an email. If you'd like to send us your thoughts that way, you can do that, will-talk, so will-talk@illinois.edu. Actually, we've been making one we just came across. It came off the web, and I'm not sure exactly where the recipe came from. I think originally it must have come from some cooking magazine.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a particularly exotic, but it's really good. And it's a quick black bean soup.
Ooh.
And you begin by sautéing a little bit of onion and a generous amount of garlic. And this is a soup because it's got the beans, and because, as we both know, there ain't nothing that can't be improved by the addition of cumin.
Oh, yes.
It has cumin, and the recipe calls for 2 teaspoons, and because we really like cumin, I added an extra one.
Uh-huh.
And because what I like to do is add the cumin into the hot oil with the onion and the garlic, because it really, it really wakes it up. So you saute your onion and garlic, and you put in your cumin there. And I also, the recipe doesn't call for it, but I thought a little thyme and oregano might be good. So
oregano, yes.
Added some of those.
You're kind of doing a little south of the border taste.
Yes. So maybe I put in about, quarter teaspoon of thyme and maybe a half teaspoon of oregano.
Right.
And also put them in there with the cumin just for a little bit. Gets everybody very excited. And then into the pot... 2 small cans of tomatoes, 3 cans of black beans, and then 2 cups of broth and 2 cups of water. And that's it. And let that simmer for maybe about 20 minutes. And then what I did, now the recipe says, we'll take the whole blend, puree the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of like there still to be some little pieces of tomato and some recognizable beans. So what I did was I took out some of the solids from the soup and some of the liquid, put it into a separate container, put it in my stick blender.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And word that, you know, what Emeril calls the motorboat, and word that up, and then added that back to the soup, which makes it thicker and richer, and yet also there are still some recognizable beans. And what we served it by putting a little rice in the bottom of a bowl, and actually we fried up a little bit of Italian sausage and sprinkled a little bit of that on there, and then put the soup into the bowl, and added a little bit of chopped up chipotle chili.
Oh, that would be a good hot taste.
Yes, enough to, I think it amounted to maybe about a tablespoon. It was not an enormous amount, but it contributed a lot of flavor, added a little bit of heat, that nice smoky thing that it got going there, and that's it. And it's really good. And as I said, if you're pretty together, there's no reason why you can't do that in about 30 minutes.
Well, you can, and all the ingredients are around you. I mean, you know, you do have to kind of prepare your mind when you're standing at the store sometime,
mm-hmm.
but to have all those ingredients around you. One of the things I liked about what you're saying, you know, I think a lot of us common cookers get a little bit overwhelmed with chilies and think that because you're putting chilies in something, it's got to be real hot and scary,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep finding a lot of people cooking now. As you know, I'm watching the Food Channel all the time, both of them, one after the other. And I find that there is a lot more chili peppers used, but they bring it down to one little mm-hmm. serrano. And I think, well, is that enough? In my old mind, I'm thinking, is that really enough? Well, apparently it is. So one chipotle, I know, would be plenty.
Yeah, I think so. And it has wonderful flavor, and I suppose if you really, really like it, hot, I guess you could put in more, but this was, I think, it was a chipotle in adobo.
In adobo,
and
sauce, yeah.
We started out with a good sized one, and I think we used about half.
Yeah.
And I just sort of chopped it up and just take that in. And as I say, I think it probably amounted to maybe about a teaspoon. It wasn't, and it was a good sized pot of chili. You could definitely tell that it was there, but it wasn't so strong that it blew your head off.
Right.
It added that zing, it added nice flavor, and it was really nice. And the whole thing went together pretty quick. And as I say, it's not real exotic, it's not real fancy, but we really enjoyed it.
It's real good.
It's real good, yeah. Well, let's talk. We have a caller here. We have someone to talk with, and let me check my computer here. It's someone in Bement, line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you doing on this
Good.
Snowed-in day?
Good. Oh, doing okay.
This is a quick one. It came out of a recipe book that came with my first microwave book about 20 years ago, and it was simply called a squash soup. And you can do this in the summer or the winter, because you can do it as a cold type soup, or you can use it as hot. And it basically said you chunk up things like crookneck and zucchini and any other squash that's available. You cook them in chicken stock with onion, and leeks work real well also. And they said grind it up at the end, just, you know, puree the whole thing, and then serve it with a dollop of sour cream on top.
Mm.
Well, I found that I like it just left as chunks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And go on about the business, but it takes barely 20 minutes to a half hour to make. I mean, it's like done. And it's quite tasty. If you grind it up, it has a flavor similar to pea soup if you just use zucchini and crookneck.
And crookneck, yeah.
But if you add some of the hard squashes, you know, the butternut and other ones, then it pushes the flavors off into a different direction. But that's really simple. And another one is just literally a 10-minute bean soup is canned navy beans and a very strong, like a double-strength canned bouillon. Mix those and then chop either onions or leeks. And then if you've got kielbasa or something like that, just enough to heat the kielbasa through, and you have a very good tasting bean soup in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, I've always laughed at canned navy beans. You know, my mother always cooked beans all the time. And I thought, what is simpler than cooking beans? But it is convenient to have a can of cooked navy beans around, isn't it?
For something like that, I mean, you know, they're not. Oh, I forgot. For the bean soup, throw in a bay leaf.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that yep. does change it. But basically, I mean, if you're kind of in a hurry and it's a Saturday afternoon and you've been running around all over the place, this doesn't take much time at all. And even if you don't put the sausage in, it's still pretty hearty soup. And if you've got sourdough bread around, you've got it made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, that'd be kind of nice. Yeah, navy beans kind of zooped up with some bay, maybe a little thyme and maybe a little savory if you want to push it a little bit farther.
True.
Thyme and savory would complement the bay leaf a lot. That sounds good. That's good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. All right. Very good. I think canned tomatoes and canned beans are two great things.
They are two great things. You're absolutely right.
To be able to have that on the have it in your pantry, they'll keep, and you can do a lot of things with them, and it's great just to be able to reach and grab those things off the shelf. Let's talk with somebody in Charleston. They're next on our toll-free line. This is line 4. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was very proud of myself yesterday. I decided that I needed a can of soup for lunch, and I was willing to have one of those, you know, yucky, bland cans of chicken noodle soup. Got to the pantry, didn't have it, and went, And then I remembered that we'd had a party on the weekend, and I had made, like, chicken skewers, and I had some leftover of that, and I had chicken broth. So I got out the chicken broth. I chopped up the leftover chicken from the chicken skewers, and it had some soy sauce and ginger, and it also had onion and mushrooms on it.
Ooh,
and yum. Chopped all that up. And then I went, oh, yeah. And we had this corn and bean salsa that I had made that had black-eyed peas and black beans and white corn. And then, of course, it was in, you know, oil and vinegar, and had red pepper in it. So I went, okay. And so I got the stuff together, threw in the chicken, threw in like 3 heaping tablespoons, or actually probably more of that, of the salsa, and then got some celery out that I had left over, got some onions out, and threw all of that in. And I had some Amish noodles that are so fabulous. And used that for the noodles in the chicken noodle soup, and it was fabulous.
That really sounds great. I mean, the taste sound rather nice and exotic with soy sauce, and then to cook with oils like that. A recipe doesn't ask for oil when you're doing, but I love it. When you've got that stuff left over, you say, well, that isn't going to hurt anything if I put that in.
Exactly.
And we don't have that in a recipe, but we do have it in our minds when we're cooking with it. I think that's really neat.
It was fun, and I'm seldom very creative when I cook, and just thought, well, the worst thing I can do is say that didn't taste very good, and I haven't lost much because it was all leftovers.
Well, but I think you also were being critical when you chose the pieces that you got, because there are people that do garbage cooking, I call it. You know, they just throw everything in and don't know why or what.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were describing those pieces, they all sound inspired to be put together in this way. I think that is great.
Well, I'm glad that we made enough so that we can have leftover soup today, too. So, yeah, thanks.
Great.
Make some cornbread and eat with that.
All right.
Thanks for the story and the recipe. I love that because it's creative, it's imaginative, it's resourceful. It's looking at what you've got in the way of leftovers and saying,
and recognizing it.
Yeah.
And recognizing that it has a potential.
That's great. Well, we're about midway through this first hour of Focus.
Oh,
it's our monthly show on cooking. We've been doing it for a long time on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour with Doyle Moore. We call him our chef in residence. As he said, he's at his residence at his house. Because of the snow, we said, well, stay home. We'll do it on the telephone. And we'll see you next month. And we're really pleased that he's doing the show with us. And his thought, based on a suggestion of somebody he just bumped into the other day, was let's talk about soup. And here, and the idea here, as the first two callers have illustrated, is that, well, you can make soup does not have to be an all-day, multi-hour undertaking. It can be the kind of thing where you can decide if you have some leftovers you can use, or if you have your essential pantry items ready to go, you can just say, okay, we're going to have soup. And within 30, 40 minutes, you can have soup and have it on the table. And maybe you all out there who are listening have a good recipe to share. That'd be great. We'd be happy to have it. And you could tell the other folks who are listening about it. 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you can also email us at will-talk. That's just like it sounds, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, you mentioned that recipe for the turnip soup.
Yes.
That use of chicken broth and turnips, has some cinnamon, has some parsley. You put that all together and then just add a little bit of cream to finish it. And so that was one of the recipes. Was that the one that you said was exotic?
Well, I think it
was kind of exotic.
I still can't figure out who puts cinnamon with turnips. I think that that's the clue as to where it came from.
Hmm.
And I just don't recognize that at all. It's not really, the cinnamon, Moroccan, yes, but not turnips, I don't think. So it confuses me. I thought somebody might recognize it. Anyway, it was worth it. It's worth a keeping.
Okay, well, we have another caller, and they're in Urbana. Let's go right there, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling. My favorite soup this year, the first year I've made it, is a carrot soup, a cream of carrot soup.
Ooh, good.
And it is delicious. It's just a pound, well, depends on how much you want to make, but it's about a pound of carrots and a good size onion and leeks, and sometimes I put in maybe a couple of potatoes, medium sized ones, and
you chop the potatoes up, dice them.
Yeah, I slice them very thin.
Well, slice them.
I cook the onions and the with some butter first, and when those are nice and soft, then I add the carrots and the thinly sliced or diced potatoes, and I cook the leeks with the onions.
Oh, yeah.
And then I put in, I just use bouillon cubes, chicken bouillon, about a quart or a little more, depending on how much vegetables I have. And then I cook it for till everything's pretty soft, and then I puree it and put it back in the pot and put, excuse me, some, maybe a fourth to a half a cup of cream in it and stir it up and put it in bowls, and it is delicious.
Carrot soup is a very, very old soup, and I don't know that I have ever been served it in a restaurant. I think it's very, very common and desirable in England, carrot soups. But I never find one that I think it's sort of something that you have to make by yourself, because I don't know anyone that would ever serve that in a restaurant.
Well, the first time I ever had it was in a French restaurant in Napa, California.
Oh,
years,
well,
years ago.
Okay.
And they added the cream right at the table.
How interesting.
Yeah, I usually freeze about half of what I make, and it's so easy, you know, just thaw it out and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
But I also, the other night, I had some chicken breast that I had baked, and I wanted it to be a little heartier, so I just diced that up and put it in the soup, and I also put, the cheese I like to put in it is it's a Kraft pre-shredded Mexican blend.
Oh, okay,
yes. It doesn't have cheddar
yes,
in it, but it's like their deluxe Mexican blend. Oh, it is so good. And maybe a little sour cream. Just, you can dress it up all kinds of ways, but it is so good. And it's really quite filling.
That's neat. Well, you've proved again. Now, it's interesting that most of these quick soups are indeed a specific technique of where you soften the vegetable by cooking it in a broth, and then you blend it or mash it up. Some people just like it thickened mashed, and some people like it blended. And then generally, indeed, there is the addition of this cream. I've got a couple of other recipes similar to that, and it's very much like the vichyssoise, you know, which is onions and leeks and potatoes.
I was just going to say, this is I got a basic recipe out of Joy of Cooking.
Oh yes.
But it's the cauliflower soup, and then it says to make carrot soup, you substitute, the carrots and. Also, that's where I get my vichyssoise recipe.
Yes, so of course.
Doesn't call for potatoes for the carrot soup, but I just thought, well, it's so good with the other, I'll just try it.
Well, when you put the potatoes in it, they will cook down a little bit more, and then they will thicken the soup more than if you didn't have them in. And that's a value of the potato as well as its flavor. Is mostly
yeah,
its
and
texture.
The potassium,
yeah.
I mean, it's a really healthy one because
and it is. You're
have
right.
All those phytochemicals, so
you're right.
But it's so good. I just thought I'd share it.
Good. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That reminds me, we have one. We haven't made it in a while, but we have a carrot soup that somehow always makes me think of Thanksgiving, and maybe it's that time of the year that it's essentially although it does not have the dairy in it, but pretty much it's the same thing where you take onions maybe you saute them a little bit in a little bit of butter and then you saute the carrots with the onions and then put in the chicken broth and cook it until everything is soft and then you process it.
Uh-huh.
And this soup, it has a little bit of orange juice.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the English style, is putting orange juice in carrot soup. Yes.
And if you like the flavor, and it's a good first course.
Uh-huh.
And you can also add a little bit of cinnamon and or nutmeg is very pleasant with that too, and it's pretty, and the flavors are kind of exciting and bright, and that's a really nice starter for a fall festive holiday meal.
Martha Stewart would have put it in that $25 glass turkey for her children.
Yes, well, it's, yes, either that or she would have scooped out a pumpkin and put it in there or something. Yes,
well, but that's where it starts.
At Marthy, let's go to Effingham next, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I've got a quick chili.
Ooh.
I am going to be called an American, but I'm not a hamburger person. So I take like round steak or some other kind of steak, chop it up and saute it. While that's sauteing, you take your tomato juice. I use like a can of salsa. That way you're cutting down on your tomatoes and you've got all that, some beef broth, and begin that cooking. But I add some really strange ingredients, your typical cumin chili powder. But I add a pinch of brown sugar and a pinch of cinnamon. And some unsweetened cocoa powder.
And unsweetened cocoa powder. You're being very Spanish.
Well,
yes.
I've been watching, Food Network, and a lot of times in their savory dishes, they'll use cinnamon and chocolate.
Cinnamon and chocolate, yes.
And I have had people, you can't taste it, but people are like, wow.
What is it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I add cocoa to my... I can't say the name. The eggplant caponata.
Oh yes.
The use of chocolate and cocoa goes back to Mexico, which goes back to Spain, and Spain is very big in using cocoa, just exactly as you're using it, not as a great taste like you're eating a Hershey bar along with your chili, but it is a little hidden thing that just sort of magnifies every bit.
Yeah.
That is really good, and that is very fast.
Yes, very fast.
Yeah.
And if you want to let it, it's great the next day, drop a little sour cream and cheese on it, you're good to go.
Oh, I bet those are good, rich flavors.
Oh, they're
great. I mean, it does get enriched by with the cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Cinnamon. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
The cinnamon.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I actually also I put cocoa and cinnamon in my chili.
Do you?
I do.
Well,
and
you aren't far from wrong.
And I'm not sure exactly what, maybe it was that I saw some recipe for some mole, and I thought,
that could well be it, because mole is very similar in adding those complex flavors. But also, I think, even things like Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay is using more cocoa in some of his tastes, which I find interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's another one of those zeitgeist things, like you heard about it, and you've tried it, and you like it, and you just keep doing it. And all of a sudden, it becomes the standard of what you like to have.
Yeah, and I think it really, it adds a nice sort of bottom note. But
yes.
As you say, I think those are things that you don't, I'm not sure that you actually want to taste them. Although, actually, I think for me, you can tell the cinnamon is there. I really like that. But that ends up in some real complicated way, all that stuff. You know, as I like to say, the pieces get excited about each other.
Oh yeah,
and they blend together and make something that's really nice. And you don't want any of them to jump out at you too much.
No.
Well, let's talk with some other folks here. Let's talk with somebody in Seattle. How about that?
Oh, all right.
Line one. Hello.
Hi. I heard you talking about quick soup recipes, and I couldn't resist. So here's a quick recipe I made up the other day.
Yep.
Okay, you start off with about a can's worth of broth, or if you happen to have real stock, you can do that. But basically, you're looking for 2 cups, a couple celery stalks, a couple of carrots into quarter-inch dice, a medium onion, and about a tablespoon and a half of butter. Let that get soft. Doesn't take that long. And then, basically, you can pour in a can of your favorite canned tomatoes, puree that a little bit, and crumble in, 6 to 8 ounces of blue cheese soup. And you're
Ooh,
done.
Blue cheese.
Oh, a little black pepper.
Blue cheese.
It's really good. I was just playing with food I loved it. So anyway, I thought I'd share that.
Well, thanks.
That's really very good, because you've got all those vegetables, and the blue cheese is going to be a marvelous contrast with that. Next time, sneak in gorgonzola instead of just plain blue cheese.
That's a great idea. It's kind of salty, but it's delicious.
This sounds very much like David Rocco made a soup, and he had to put in gorgonzola, and I was sort of stunned the other night when I watched that, but I see the idea. That's a nice flavor combination. Great celery and carrots and onions and broth and tomatoes. That's really good. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks.
Sure.
Well, I like the inventiveness of that and some of the other things
too.
That people have said. And after all, where do new recipes come from? Well, they come from people taking two things and saying, what do you think would happen if we put these things together?
Well,
let's try it and see. As the earlier caller said, the worst thing is, you say, this is no good, and you throw it out. But you might find, you really like that combination.
Yep.
Let's see. We have about 10 minutes left. This is the first Wednesday of the month. It has been our great pleasure for a long time to talk about cooking on this day with Doyle Moore, our chef in residence. He's at his house. And we're talking about quick soups. And maybe you have a good soup recipe, something that comes together pretty quick and that you have enjoyed making, you'd like to tell us about. We'd like to hear about it. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Center Point, Indiana is next. Line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We have a wonderful lasagna soup that is a great crowd pleaser when we have family or, have guests. And you just start out with, I use a good ground round and Italian sausage, onions, celery, carrots, and cook all of that, of course, and chicken broth.
Chicken broth, okay.
And then throw in a can of tomatoes And then at the very end, after this is all cooked, then add baby spinach.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then use, like, a real small pasta, like a digiolini.
Okay, the little tiny ones.
Little tiny ones.
Yeah.
And then take your bowl and put chunks of mozzarella cheese in the bottom.
Mm.
And pour the soup over the top. And then serve with a warm, crusty bread like a bagel.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
That sounds pretty good.
And did you invent this yourself?
No. This came from a cuisine cookbook that I've had forever. But I use it a lot for parties, Christmas parties. And it is a crowd pleaser.
I'll bet. Well, thanks.
So I just wanted to share that.
Yes, that's very, very good. Well, you certainly got the right idea. These things all go together so easily, and it's just the way it is.
It is
that long cooking. I like it.
Well,
very
thanks.
Much.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And one of the things I like about it, I'm pretty good with spinach as long as it's lightly cooked.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I like the idea that you would add it just to the point where it would get kind of maybe a little blanched, where it would still have its relatively, you know, you would hope relatively fresh, or at least that's the way I would do it. So it was still relatively fresh and wasn't didn't get cooked down.
There are a lot of kale soups that are made exactly in this same manner. I mean, they are different vegetables, but then the kale goes in clear at the end. And it stays just a little bit crispy and crunchy, but it does melt down pretty fast. A kale soup would be very much in this manner.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Which is, again, another very English soup.
To another caller, we're back here in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
My idea, it's not necessarily a quick idea, but I've been making my own broth. And I just started at Thanksgiving when we had the leftover turkey remains. And I've done 3 batches now. In each batch, I just take the remains of whatever bird. We've done 2 turkeys and 1 chicken.
Yeah.
So with the turkey, obviously, it was Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then with the chicken, we just made a chicken because we were out of broth.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, well, we'll make a chicken in the crock pot and then we'll take the chicken remains and make broth. But each batch we just throw the whatever remains there are in a stock pot and we let it boil for you know, a long time, all day pretty much, and stir it maybe once every couple hours and make sure it's doing all right. But it's really low time commitment overall, maybe 10, 20 minutes of work.
Well, you're right. You have to do some advanced thinking. You have to decide, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm going to need it tomorrow, you know.
Well, we make soup constantly throughout the winter. So if you add up the amount of money we spend on broth, we're actually spending a decent amount of money. So it's kind of a nice cost savings, and the broth is way better than anything we've gotten from the store.
It really is. I know that we're always cautioned. They say, well, use canned, but if you make it yourself, you'll really like it better, and that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing that you have to have your mindset that you're doing that as a real object rather than jumping up and saying, oh, I'm going to put this all together real fast. No,
yeah.
You have it. I mean, Ina Garten's always got 2 quarts in the refrigerator somewhere of chicken stock. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, that's very good. That's good that you do it that way because you are getting a very, very good product out of that. I like that very much. One of these days, why don't you push it a little bit farther and make a beef one? I like the idea of getting beef bones.
I have on hand right now.
Oh, you do?
I roast beef bones for a period of time. Eight of them in my freezer.
Yeah, you roast the beef bones for a time, and they add the richness to a beef broth. Make the broth exactly the same way as you're doing the others. You can put in some extra vegetables or something, but I always get excited when I see these folks take huge pans of bones and they're roasting in the oven. It seems so archaic, but I like it very much. And apparently that will give you probably the same thing that you're enjoying out of the fowl to have a beef.
A lot of the soups we do are kind of they call for chicken.
Oh, uh-huh.
Do you have any suggestions for what we would do with beef broth?
With beef broth, probably soups that have meat in them, beef or pork. You use the beef broth with that because these others are lighter, and you don't want something too strong. A beef broth is stronger than a chicken broth, and I think it would be for something that you would. Well, if you were making, you could make a boeuf bourguignon with the beef broth, a lot of red wine and beef broth, and then cook the beef down for a long time. Look up a recipe for that, boeuf or beef bourguignon. It's made with a Burgundy wine and beef broth, and you will enjoy that cooking a lot. It's going to be stronger and richer, but that's what it is.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you. Thanks very much. It's certainly, if you have the time to make stock, the call is right. It's going to be better than what you're going to get off the shelf. The nice thing about what you get off the shelf is it's on the shelf. You know, it's convenient.
It's convenient.
But I guess, if you want to make stock, that is, and as you say, and as the caller say, once you kind of get it together, you just let it sit there and go.
Yep.
And, you know, that if you have other stuff to do, that could be probably a thing you could do on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then you could freeze it, or you could just put it in the fridge until the next day when you're ready to make your soup. So that's it's not really labor intensive, but it does take some time.
And a shin bone.
Yes, yeah. You got to you need some beef bones, or you need a chicken carcass, or you need a turkey. So that's a nice way if you've roasted a chicken. That we've done that certainly at our house. You roast the chicken. And then afterwards, you make your stock, and then you have chicken soup. Yeah. Well, we have several callers here, and we'll try to get at least one or two. Wellington is next. That's the toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm sorry to ask Doyle to repeat, but I didn't get all of the ingredients written down for his turnip soup.
Oh, I can do that very quickly because I've got it right here in front of me. Okay. Yes. One small onion diced.
Yes.
Three diced turnips.
Yes.
And 1 quart of chicken broth.
Okay.
1 teaspoon of cinnamon. 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. 1 cup of chopped up parsley. And then that is all cooked together and put in the blender, and then you add 1/2 cup of cream at the end.
Okay. How much parsley?
Oh, about a cup. I just grabbed the top of the parsley. And chopped off about a cup of chopped parsley, and you cook that along with it. You don't add that at the end. You cook that along with it.
Okay.
And it makes a nice little, when you whirl that up, it makes a nice little green note behind all the others. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You'll like it a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
all right.
You.
Very good. Thank you. Let's see. We'll try to go one more. This is Champagne and line one. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for such a lovely program on a perfect day, a day that's been canceled.
Yeah.
And I'm just cooking up a pot of soup. And as I heard you talking about throwing in cheese, I did the same thing after Christmas. I had some really strong smoked cheese from Spain that had gotten a little bit hard, and I thought, I hate to throw that away. That was really expensive cheese. I threw it in the pot at the end of the boiling period, you know, right before you serve it. Oh, my God, it had such an earthy flavor.
That is a very good use of cheese that has gone hard. And also, don't throw away the hard rinds of the cheeses that you trim the rinds off. Those are used for soup a lot. That's a good thing to do.
So I just wanted to throw that out as everybody's cooking up their soup. And let me put in a plug for the animals because it's really cold outside. And please throw out anything that you have for birds and squirrels and whoever is suffering out there.
Well, okay. They are.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
I'm watching them through my window. They're bouncing around. They aren't getting very much today. They're bouncing around on the snow.
Well, you know, we're pretty much at the point where we're going to have to stop. And I'm afraid if we go to another caller.
The clock on the wall is...
Yes, even though you're not here, the clock is here, and the clock is moving, and we've had a great time, and I really appreciate all the folks who have called. Just real quick, I also want to mention someone sent in an email here with an interesting suggestion. It's for a squash and black bean chili with tomatoes, and
Ooh. It's
sort of a usual kind of thing with the chili, but the thing that they do that's interesting is they take a squash, one of the hard squashes, like
butternut,
and essentially they cook it. What they do with it is they... put it in the microwave and cook it that way.
Oh, okay.
And then until it's tender. And then what they do is they scrape the pulp out and they beat it up until it's smooth, essentially. And then that goes into the chili.
Ooh.
So that's one.
That sounds like a combination from Veracruz.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's just what pops into my mind is the use of squashes and other things with the food rather than just a straight meat and beans.
Yeah. So that I thought that was again a really interesting variant.
Yes, indeed.
Well, that's it for this time around. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence at his residence, and I have at our house in the fridge we have some leftover of that soup I talked about at the beginning.
Yes.
So that's what we're having tonight.
Well, I'm going to go heat up my soup too for lunch.
All right. Well, I thank you very much. Glad
you
that
bet.
You could be with us this way.
Yep.
And we'll see you next month.
Next month.
Right, thank you.
Bye.
All right.